Well, welcome to another broadcast of Help Relationships 102 with your host, myself, Pastor Lewis Green. It's good to be with you this afternoon, and I look forward to the time we're going to spend together here shortly. And please like us on our Facebook page at Help Relationships 102. And remember, there's no exclamation mark at the end of Help. Just plain old Help Relationships 102. Okay, let's get to the nitty-gritty today. You know, we're going to talk about another facet of anger today that many people are often unaware of. And it is the aspect of anger known as depression. And some of you haven't recognized depression as being any form of anger. But actually, depression is anger turned inward. You see, depression is when you're angry with yourself. Has anyone here ever been angry with themselves? I know in many cases, if you've been hurt enough, some of you are angry with yourself for allowing yourself to be so victimized. But depression at large is when you are making yourself suffer. You are angry with you for whatever reason. Perhaps you're looking at your weaknesses and you're judging yourself by your weaknesses, and you're looking at the person that you are and you're angry at that person. I know some folks who've changed for that very reason. They didn't like the person that they were and they changed. But sometimes you can be angry with yourself. And what happens is, you know, a lot of folks will prescribe medication for depression. And I'm not a strong motivator of using medication. I'm not against it or anything. But I've come to believe over the years that it's not always chemically induced, or the chemical follows your faith. What do I mean by that? There's a scripture that says, according to your faith, so be it unto you. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The Bible says that God created the world, the worlds, by faith. And whether we realize it or not, so our worlds are also created by faith. And so I can believe a certain things. I can believe in the negative thoughts about myself. I can believe the hateful thoughts about myself. I can come to believe those, and my body will respond. My world will respond. Depression has a similar impact. If you are believing depressing thoughts continuously, and you've brought into the ideas that perhaps the devil is plaguing you with, then your body will respond in your chemical balance. You know, the kind of your body chemistry will respond to your faith. Your whole world responds to your faith. It's not just only your body, it's your relationships, it's your finances, it's your health, it's your life as a whole. We are what we believe we ourselves to be. That's the way God made it. God is a faith God, and He created us to be faith people. God created us to walk by faith. And just like He created the worlds by faith, so we create ours by faith. You know, I would say a lot of folks will try to move forward with all their heart and spend every waking moment trying to move forward. But in their heart, they believe themselves to be failures. And so ultimately, it doesn't matter how hard they work, according to your faith, so be it unto you. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I know folks, and you've heard me talk about it before, that struggle with addiction. And they may have been, over their addiction for months and weeks, or even years. But in their heart, they believe themselves to be addicts. And so as a result, they ultimately return to their addiction. See, I don't believe, and it's one of my problems with AA. You know, the first thing you do when you go in, you have to admit that you're an alcoholic. I think initially that's important, but it's who I identify with, who I believe myself to be. If I lock myself into that according to my faith, so will be it unto me. And so this is true also regarding depression. If you have come to buy in to believing the worst about yourself, If you've come to buy in and believing the bad thing about yourself, if maybe you have physical features or emotional characteristics, or you're not mentally as astute as you would like to be, and you think yourself dumb or ugly because of your issues, then you will discover that you will be snared according to your faith. You will live in depression. And I firmly believe this. I've seen this over and over and over, and I've been a victim of it. So I say it also from experience, that after a while, when you believe and you live in dark thinking and you live in depression because you're focused on the negative about yourself, you're focused on the worst, the bad things about yourself, and you buy into that, sometimes you wake up depressed and not even know why. And it's because those chemicals in your body, in your body chemistry balance will lend itself according to what it's accustomed, the way it's accustomed to flowing. And so some of the medication will help curtail some of it. But until the axe is laid to the root and you can begin to make up your mind what you believe about yourself, you will find that you will be angry with yourself for yourself being ugly. You will be angry with yourself for being too fat, too skinny, nose too big, head too big, hair nappy, teeth not straight enough, skin not, and complexion not nice enough. Your behind is not big enough or too big. Your chest is not big enough or too big, or you're too tall, you're too short. If you reject yourself on that basis, and for whatever reason, now sometimes it's because of that. You're angry with yourself for being not enough, for being inadequate. Or sometimes you're angry with yourself for allowing people to hurt you, for allowing yourself to be victimized, for allowing yourself to be betrayed over and over again, for allowing yourself, or you've made some mistakes and you've committed some sins that you've not been able to get over, you've not been able to set aside and to do something with. Maybe, you've sinned against God, against your loved one, against your mom, your spouse, and your brother, your sister, and you've not been able to forgive yourself. You could be angry with you, and as a result, you will experience, that's right, depression. And if you buy into those thoughts and those ideas long enough, if you digest those and you let them mull over in your mind and in your heart, and you let them, you relive them and you meditate on them and you chew on them over and over again, after a while, your body chemistry will reflect it. So that even when you're not thinking negative thoughts, your body chemistry will be so used to flowing in that direction, you'll wake up feeling down. And so I always say this, sometimes you can think thoughts, but whatever you do, don't let those negative thoughts about yourself come out of your mouth. Because once that happens, you will establish your depression. You may feel ugly, but once you begin to call yourself ugly, you will establish it. And the Bible says that the worlds were created by the word of God by faith. The worlds were created by the word of God. And so your world is created by faith, by your word. If you fail and you say you're stupid and you begin to curse yourself and something about depression, though, it's there's something alluring about it. I always like to say it hurts so good. But so you know what I'm talking about? Those feelings, you can become comfortable in that place, and you can become comfortable with that feeling of depression. Because there is a release, because you're releasing your anger, but you're doing it upon yourself. And the result is a depressing. You are putting pressure on you. You are depressing yourself. You're pushing yourself down. You are bringing yourself low. Come on now. And some of you don't realize it. And then you try to get out of it. And some of you try to get out of it, and it creates a whole other set of problems when you try to escape it, when you try to fix it and curtail it. Some of you will get into addiction and different levels of addiction and different kinds of addiction. And some of you will be in the eat. And the eating can be a form of depression. You think that you're ugly. And so you want to feel better because because you hate yourself. And then you fall into eating addiction, which is, of course, a catch-22 because it feeds the problem, and so you can, it segues into so many different arenas and so many different directions that you're unaware of. But I'm telling you, it begins with, no matter what the devil's feeding you in your head about yourself, don't dare let it come from your mouth. Okay, because what happens is with your words, you establish it. The Bible says by your words, you are snared by the words of your mouth. The Bible says in James says that it says even as the bit can control the horse, that little bit can control the horse, and even a smaller rudder can set the course of a boat, a big ship. He said, so is the tongue of fire. And I'm quoting from memory of the King James. It is a world of iniquity among the parts of the body. It sets the entire course of a man's life on fire, and then it itself set on fire by hell. And so your tongue can lead you to hell. So the devil is going to beat you down. His name is the accuser. So he's going to accuse you. He's going to condemn you. He's going to bring you down. He's going to beat you down with the thoughts that your mom said to you, and your loved one said to you, and your friends teased you about. And he'll give you, create new thoughts, and he'll beat you down with it. But after a while, when you begin saying them about yourself and then to yourself, looking in the mirror, cursing yourself and talking about how dumb you are, how ugly you are, how insignificant you are, what a failure you are, after a while the devil stops bothering you. There's no use. You're beating your own behind now. You're depressing yourself. You're not wrestling with spiritual principle, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. You're not wrestling the devil. Right now, you are fighting you. And so this arena, this aspect of anger can be most insidious, in that the source of it could be that very thing in your mouth, that tongue of yours, your very tongue. And so I always say it begins with, you got to stop cursing yourself, no matter what, because you're going to feel bad, and when you feel bad, you're going to lend yourself to make yourself feel better in all manner of ways. And usually that'll take form in some level of addiction. Some people get caught up in their addictions because of that. And that addiction can be not only drug addiction, it could be eating addiction, it could be a TV addiction, it could be an internet addiction, it could be a shopping addiction, it could be a sex addiction, it could be all manner of addiction. But it's one of the catalysts. It's one of the springboards for addiction, is trying to escape how bad you feel about yourself. But what's fueling it is that thing in your mouth. That thing in your mouth. You know, I like to talk about, there was this girl in the Bible. She was a Shulamite woman. Okay, and what happens is, you know, Solomon had married really 300 women and had 1,000 concubines, and that was just women that you had sexual relationships with. And so, in effect, Solomon became a sex addict, and you know, he really to the extreme. And I could tell you stories about him if we had the time, but watch this. He fell in love with a Shulamite woman who was not as attractive as some of the other women. He had the most beautiful women in his day. And on top of that, he had the beautiful queens. You know, the ones he married were queens and royalty. But then he fell in love with this Shulamite woman, the story was told in the book of Song of Solomon. And the Shulamite woman was dark-skinned. And, you know, and we can appreciate that, especially those of you in the African-American community, because in the African-American community, the lighter you are, the more attractive, socially attractive you're saw to be. And, you know, some of us are color stroking, so we see ourselves as the darker you are, the less attractive you are. And maybe we'll talk about that in another broadcast, but it's something that the African-American community deals with. And so back in the day, she was dark. And that was, it had the same connotation. And she said, I'm black, but I'm comely. She said, now watch what she did. She did not major on the minor in her life. She made up her mind that she was not going to say, you're black and ugly. You're dark skinned and you're ugly. She made up her mind she was not going to say, you're fat and you're ugly. You're dumb. You're a failure. You're penniless. She made up her mind to not focus in on the negative. She acknowledged the negative, but she finished in faith. Her confession was, "Yeah, I'm dark, but I'm comely," as the Bible was. In other words, "I'm fetching. I'm bad. I'm hot." In other words, "I'm dark, but I'm hot. I may be fat, but I'm hot. I may be too skinny, but I'm hot. My nose may be too big, but I'm hot. I may not be like super smart, but I am hot. I may not have a great sense of humor, but I am hot. I may," you see. And so what happens is she made up her mind that she was, you know, to believe the best of herself by faith. Now, that's the important part, because the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, watch it. And so when you hear Solomon's description of her, he referred to her as his flawless one. He said, "You're my flawless one." See, now clearly she was flawed. She was dark-skinned. And compared to all the most beautiful women in the world, that Solomon, queens and sexual women, and the movie stars, as it were, and of that day, they were all involved with him. But he could not get enough of this short woman. He was in love with her, but because what happens is something beamed on from the inside of her. She could have been depressed that she was so dark skinned. But she says, "Yes, I'm dark. That's right. Yes, I'm overweight. That's right. Yeah, I might be too skinny. Yeah, I may not be bright. I may not have a college degree. I may not have a great job. I may not have a nice car. But guess what? God made me hot. God made me a man. God made me beautiful. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. If God be for me, who can be against me?" And so what happens is the way she saw herself, remember, she began to profess that. And as the result, her world was created according to her faith. Her world shaped her universe just like God shaped this one. And so, yes, so when Solomon talked about her, he said, "You're my flawless one." What do you mean flawless? See, Solomon didn't realize that she was so dark-skinned. There was just something about her. She was hot. And she determined that. She proved that she could be a master of her own future. And so can you. Whatever you're depressed about, yeah, that issue might be so, but God is still with you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Child of God, make up your mind. I know that, people have teased you about your issue. And I know people have made fun of you about your issue. I know it's been pointed out and criticized and laughed at. But God made you hot. He made you a man of God. He made you a woman of God. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are seated with him in heavenly places. You are the head, not the tail. You are above, not beneath. Come on now. God has given you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the works of the... Come on now, somebody. And so in this depression is simply here because you are beating yourself down. You have bought into the thoughts, the negative thoughts about yourself. You've bought into your failures and your shortcomings and your inadequacies. You've bought in, you've labeled yourself, or you've accepted the label of others. Your mom told you you were sorry and you would never amount to anything. There's nothing good about you. And you've bought into that and you have believed that, and it has happened according to your faith. But the good news is the faith, you can turn that faith around and you can make up your mind and believe it. Now, this is the thing about faith now that you got, that some people get stumped up on. The Bible says you walk by faith and not by sight. Okay, and so you may look at yourself and say, "You know something, I don't see how I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I may not see how I'm a man of God and there's greatness in me to do his will. I may not see how that I am beautiful and worthy to be loved. I may not," but guess what? You're not going by what sight is. You're not going by the way things seem. You walk by faith and not by sight. Therefore, when you begin to first proclaim it and declare it over yourself and unto yourself, you're not going to see it as you're saying it. Okay, you're not going to see it as you're saying it. You're going to still in your mind feel like you're an idiot, feel like you're good for nothing, that you're sorry. You're going to still, those feelings will initially be with you, but you're not going by what you see. My nose hasn't shrunk, my hair hasn't grown, my skin is still crazy, my teeth are still jacked up. No, you're not going by your appearance. You're going by faith, because he walked by faith and not by sight. Okay? And so you can try to succeed, but until you believe that you are an overcomer, you're going to fail. No matter how hard you try, you can try to put your hand to the plow of business. You can try to put your hand to the plow of ministry. You can try to put your hand to the plow of relationship. But if you believe yourself to be a failure off the bat, you're going to fail no matter how hard you try. No matter how hard you run, no matter how hard you press, and no matter how you figure and manipulate and try to make something happen, it's going to happen according to your faith, according to what you believe. So then you make up your mind, child of God. And you aren't going to be able to see it about yourself when you begin to initially proclaim it. It's like when you're sick, you're going to say, what do you mean? Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the sick, come on. You know, you're saying you are whole. You are the healed. You're not going to see it. If you could, it wouldn't be by faith. And so God is inviting you to come into a relationship with him, to come into a place in him that he has prepared for you and him. And you've been beat down. The devil may have started. Your parents, your mom may have started. Your friends at school, on the school ground, in the schoolyard may have started. But you yourself have finished it. And you were living in depression. You are down all the time. You're never too far from being down. People will ask you what's wrong with you, and you don't know what's wrong with you. You'll say everything. You don't know what's wrong with you. And you can't put your finger on what it is. It's because it's a condition that you brought upon yourself with that thing in your mouth. And so the same way that you came, the same way that you imprisoned yourself, it's the same way that you're going to come out. You are imprisoned by your words. You'll be liberated and freed with your words, with your faith words. Remember, as you're proclaiming it to yourself, you're making up your mind to believe it. You know, that's why I always say, you know, the Bible says that we're saved by faith, not by our actions, because we have no power over our actions. Our actions are only going to reflect what we believe. So I make up my mind what I want to believe. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You find that phone number in your husband's pants, and you choose not to believe that he's cheating. You choose not to believe. The teachers come to you, and they'll tell you crazy things about your kids, and you don't want to believe it. So you choose not to believe it. It's living in denial, true, but you can believe what you want to believe. And God is inviting you to believe the good thing. God is inviting you to believe what he says about you. God is inviting you to believe what he believes and what the truth is. He wants you to walk by faith and not by sight. In other words, he wants you to walk by what he says and not by what it seems. He wants you to believe. And what happens is you determine what the truth is according to your faith. So be it unto you. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Child of God, come out of that dark place. Stop being so angry with yourself. Stop putting yourself down. Stop allowing those words to pass through your lips. You know, the Bible says that no one can control the tongue. And so it's hard to control the tongue. It says that in James, that it's unruly. But guess what? See, you may not be able to say nothing, but you can say something. In other words, when you want to cuss, how about you praise God instead? When you want to say something negative, how about you say something positive instead? It's going to be hard to restrain yourself from saying the negative, but you can say the positive instead by faith. And you make yourself, and what happens is after a while, it'll come by itself. And you will tell, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. The same tongue that cursed you, you will then begin to bless yourself. You begin to bless your future. You begin to bless your present. You begin to bless the work of your hand. Bless your marriage. Some of you are so convinced you're going to fail. This marriage is not going to succeed. You are convinced. I just had a brother, me, a dear friend, an army buddy. For years, we were kids, 18 years old in the military. He always said to me, he said, Lewis, I'm going to die young. His mother died young. And he said, I'm going to die young, Lewis. I said, stop saying that, brother. We're 18, 19 years old. And he said, stop. And he said that for the whole 4 years that I was in the military, he said it couldn't on a regular basis. I'm going to die young, Lewis. I'm going to die young. And I said, brother, you can't say that, dear. I'm going to die. It's true. I'm going to die young. He was healthy, completely healthy. You know something? Last week he died. My beloved friend died according to the words of his mouth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity among the parts of the body. It corrupts the entire person, setting the entire course of his life on fire. The Bible says, by your tongue you are taken, by your words of your mouth you are snared. child of God, life and death is in the power of the tongue, and whoso eats it shall eat of the fruit of it. The Bible says that come on now, somebody. And so God is asking you to stop being so angry. Why are you so mad with yourself? Why have you bought into the lie of the enemy about you? Why have you bought into the lie of the enemy about yourself? And why are you dare letting it pass through your lips so that you establish it? If you're going to say, you're going to divorce, and it's going to be a divorce, guess what? You're putting it in motion. You're setting the entire course of that with the very words of your mouth. Come on now. You tell someone they're dumb, and after a while, they're going to believe it. You tell someone they're a failure, after a while, they're going to believe it. But our time has gotten past us. Please like us on our Facebook page at Help Relationships 102. Remember that there's no exclamation point at the other end of help, like it is here on Blog Talk Radio. A plain old Help Relationships 102. So until the next time, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. This is Pastor Lewis wishing you good afternoon and God bless.